Where are you from? Where are you living now?
I live in Charleston. I'm originally from Sullivan.
But you spent a lot of time in Indiana.
I did, yes. Spent, 4 years for college, went to Rose Holman, graduated in 98, and actually spent a year up in New Hampshire, and yeah.
So, by trade, are you a teacher?
Not by trade, but I have taught in inner city schools. I actually worked with AmeriCorps. Spent time actually teaching sex ed in inner city schools. You couldn't believe the STD rates and unwanted pregnancy rates in those schools. We're talking middle schools.
Right.
It was pretty tough. And, the laws there.
Nationwide epidemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
And, It when you couple that with what's going on here in Illinois with the opioid epidemic, I'm so glad you guys are doing a talk about that later. What's really going on here is that's kind of morphing into a heroin epidemic. So we're going to have all sorts of these kinds of bloodborne
pathogens.
Can't get
the pills anymore, and so they're looking to get their medicine and feel better, and heroin.
Yeah, and so they...
Low-cost, quality heroin.
Yeah, and it's so cheap. It is so cheap. And, they get it from multiple different sources, from St. Louis or Chicago. And it's really creating problems for cops as well as for health professionals.
First time you ever ran for office?
That is. That's true. I have been in many campaigns going back to 2008 in Indiana. I worked on that primary for the Hillary camp. And what was amazing about that, it was such a positive time because both the Obama and the Hillary camps, we came together after that primary. It was pretty heated, very hotly contested. And what we did is we came together and we turned Indiana blue for the second time since World War II. Who knew? Nobody saw that coming.
Well, maybe it's the 9,200 Illinoisans that have moved there.
Yeah.
In 1 year.
But that was,
according to the IRS reports from November 30th.
Yeah, there is a movement over the border. I it's not as drastic of a problem as people think it is, because what we really need is leadership here in the 15th district.
Well, this is a quote that I saw that when I went to your website. It's GaithorForIllinois.com. And I saw this line that caught my attention. You talk about how you grew up in Sullivan, Illinois. And you say, party lines become meaningless for average workers, the working poor, and those that need government services to survive. They don't care about party loyalty.
That's right. Yeah, what I see over the course of my time, wherever I've lived, people, especially public officials, they tend to just vote right down the party line. That's what's happening with this tax reform bill, which is a real scam on middle class, working poor, and small businesses, especially. You can't even believe it, but if you're a minimum wage worker with kids, you get just over $70 for your child tax credit, but people over 400,000 get 4,000. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
All right, but here's the thing: when people say it's hard on the working poor, 47% of Americans don't pay taxes.
Well, they also are. Every dime they have is going to their bills. Every dime that they have is going for health care. They are struggling to make all their ends meet. These minimum wage jobs, which are important, they don't pay the bills. What we need is real tax relief for them, but we need wage growth more than anything else.
How can you get tax relief if you're not paying taxes?
Well, what you do is...
I mean, you're not paying taxes. That's tax relief, in my book. And the reason why I ask this, you look at the medium income Southern Illinoisans, man, it's low compared to the national average,
yeah.
Right? Depending on your county, but you figure around 36,000, 33,000. You're doing pretty good in some portions of Southern Illinois. I mean, very
there
low
are
in
parts,
some places,
yes.
Right? But about 36 down is where apparently people don't pay taxes, according to the report I read last week. And that's one of the things that I'm struggling with right now is people, it's hard on the working poor. You can't, it's harder for the taxes. They're not paying taxes. And they're getting a child income credit as well, which stacks up to a pretty good chunk of change.
Well, it depends. If you're a small business owner, you're not making that much money. You're paying lots of taxes. It doesn't matter how much you're paying.
Yeah, boy.
That's...
A lot of small business owners are going, yeah. Oh, maybe they got an expensive stock. You got $1 million worth of business, but you're dealing with something that costs a lot of money, right? $1 million isn't much when you're running a small business.
Well, and it's everything if you really don't make that much. I mean, I pay taxes on the little that I make in my business, and that's, you know, it's like it's a huge chunk of change for people like myself. You know, and I don't know many people that aren't hurt by taxes like sales tax and these things.
And I'll tell you, I talked to a business owner on Saturday afternoon. He's talking about his costs going up. And, you know, we live in Southern Illinois on that margin of about 2-3%. We consider we're happy. You get a raise of 2-3% a year if you're an employee and you're thinking, I'm doing great. And they come after, you know, that additional 2-3%. You're going, wait a second, that's what I live on.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of times, especially in factories and these kinds of jobs, you get a wage increase, then you get a benefit decrease, or you don't work as many hours. There's always a cost to any benefit you get.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the big problems in the economy and in the 15th District and across rural America is they constantly get the short end of every single deal.
Yeah. And you know, that's I think a sentiment that I hear expressed pretty often. The short end of the stick, you know, a lot. And here's the weird thing. You're running for federal office. Many people in Southern Illinois feel they get a double whammy. Indifference in D.C., indifference in Springfield.
Right.
You know, and that's, I mean, when you're running for office, it seems like they want you to be accountable for both.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I hear that all the time. You know, people are more upset about Springfield at the moment because, you know, we didn't have a budget for over 2 years. They're also upset about, you know, Congress. But I'd say in this, you know, right now, all the energy is going into the governor's race for sure. I mean, yeah. Which is going to be pretty exciting.
It was weird because it looks like J.B. Pritzker's running against Trump and that Rauner's running against Madigan.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the state. So when it comes to you, you've got to run against Carl Sporer and then John Shimkus.
That's right.
Ideally. When it comes down. So I guess right now what you need to do between now and the March primary, you need name recognition. And I know that according to your website, you've been talking about going out and talking to people, seeing
That's
what
right.
their issues are. So Kevin Gaither is joining us this morning, Democratic candidate for the 15th District. What do they want to talk to you about when you're in the district?
Well, what I hear is a lot of concern about the, you know, certainly the economy, healthcare. What John Shimkus is doing, I'll tell you that, is making healthcare more expensive. He's not doing anything to fix it. What they constantly are talking about is like, what makes me different from, you know, Carl, I guess, you know, and what I've done is I've been doing this since I was in high school. You know, when I was in Sullivan, I saw a problem, or the elementary school I was taught in was this crumbling building. You know, it was going to cost so much to fix it, to maintain it. And so I did this 6-page expose with a friend of mine, and they loved this so much, they actually, the county board, school board, reprinted it and sent it to every registered voter. And we got us a new elementary school. It's the last time I'd say that they passed a positive tax referendum in Moultrie County.
So you became a political gambler and you won on your first game. You're hooked.
Yeah, well, it's like you can make a real difference. It's
right,
like, and I've been doing
when you actually get something across the line and you go, wait a second, I got something accomplished in a world where it's hard to get anything accomplished, and you're going like, wait a second.
Yeah, you can make a difference. You just have to stand up, and sometimes it causes people discomfort. I've caused my family discomfort over the years because, you know, here I am standing up to, you know, the status quo, and that's what we really need is a fighter that's going to stand and say no. You know, sometimes you have to say hell no because, you know.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. One of your quotes, you say, is they just need someone to serve their interests, not special interests.
Yeah. And I see a lot of the, you know, with this tax bill, it's a huge corporate welfare, you know, check, you know, 14% permanent cuts to corporations when 1 out of 5 of them don't even pay taxes to begin with. So now we're going to go to 1 out of 2 paying taxes. I mean, to me, that's painful to the district. It's painful to the country and the people. Deserve so much better.
Looks like they may vote on it. I've got a quote here from this morning from Senator John Cronin of Texas says the vote could come as early as tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably going to pass. It's going to be painful. And the thing is, what we should be doing is passing an infrastructure bill because our country is falling apart. Anybody who, you know, has to drink water, especially these kids in these schools with these, you know, terrible, you know, just like the school, my niece was lucky enough to be educated in had better pipes, but there's so many other schools throughout the district that are in disrepair, and we need infrastructure bill, not corporate tax relief forever.